Amen.
We'll remain standing this morning for the reading of God's Word. Our reading will be from the beginning of the book of Ephesians and a short passage from the Gospel according to Mark. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the Beloved. And from Mark chapter 4, we read this as the explanation of the parable of the sower. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And those are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones that are sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth and your spirit of truth who delivers it to us. May we richly learn those lessons he would teach us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we begin our journey through the book of Ephesians. It is a book that we use liberally in our worship services as readings and guidance for our covenant renewal worship liturgy. It is a book that will take us to the highest views of God's grand plan of salvation. And yet, it will bring us some of the most practical advice for our lives. As is our general practice here at Church of the King, we will approach this important book exegetically, which is the fancy word that means we'll go verse by verse. And as we do this, we will, of course, strive to see how Ephesians is informed by other passages from the Scriptures and/or how it helps us to understand other passages in new ways. Such will be the case this morning with the parable of the sower, which is why it was included as part of our text that was read. I need to say right up front that much, if not really most, of the credit for the insights that I will share from this book will come from the work that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones did in presenting a series of sermons on this book many years ago. As I've often said, when someone else says things well, we should not try to reinvent the wheel just to have something new to say. And having said that, when I read about the fear and trepidation that Pastor Lloyd-Jones approached this series, or as he approached this series, I thought perhaps I needed to pick another book because I was certainly not up to the task. But then reading through the book, which I trust you all did over the past couple of weeks, I thought, how could a pastor not look pretty good with all of this great material? At bottom, I trust that this will be edifying and helpful. So let's dig in. Most would agree that the Apostle Paul presents the general theme of this epistle in the very first few verses that we read. There he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved." Now, my sermon title for this morning, I concurred with Pastor Lloyd-Jones, who argues that this epistle is the most sublime and the most majestic of any of Paul's writings. He writes that in the first chapter, we are to focus on God, the eternal and everlasting God, self-sufficient in himself from eternity to eternity, needing the aid of no one living, dwelling in his own everlasting, absolute, and eternal glory. That is the great theme of this epistle. And we must not start by examining ourselves and our needs, but rather we must start with God and forget ourselves. He then adds, in this epistle, we are taken, as it were, by the hand of the apostle, and are told that we are going to be given a view of the glory and the majesty of God. We will then see the glories of God's grace by which we are saved, and some of the most powerful teaching about the church, the body of Christ. Even as we move into the final chapters of this book and we see the many practical applications, it will still be God who is at the center, as we're reminded that our marriages reflect Christ's love for the church. And even when it comes to bosses or employers, they are to rule as their master rules in heaven. And of course, we know near the end that we are told that we need the full armor of God for all of life's battles. So why did I include the summary of the parable of the sower? And what does it have to do with our study of the book of Ephesians? You see, we're going to spend the next few weeks reviewing just the first few verses of this epistle. And we're going to begin with verse 1, where we read, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." And as we study these verses at length, we are going to consider some very basic questions, which are, on the one hand, easy to answer, but on the other, very profound. So according to that verse, what is Paul? Well, it says he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we could then say, well, why is Paul an apostle? And it tells us in that verse that it was by the will of God. And of course, the children will certainly ask, what is an apostle? Well, it's simply one who is sent out with a message. Then it leads to the question, to whom was Paul sent? And the verse tells us, to the saints, which includes us, of course, but directly to the Ephesians. And why was he sent to the Ephesians and to us? To bring grace and peace from God. And how does he do this? By giving them the truth. And you see, this relates very well to the series that we've chosen to start our study on Thursday evenings down here in Sacramento. It's called Project Truth. And this last Thursday, in the first lesson, the host stressed how Jesus said that he came to witness to the truth. And of course, we know that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that he has sent us the Spirit of truth by which Paul was able to write the epistle to the Ephesians. And we know that God's word is truth. Truth, that Proverbs taught us this past month that we should seek after more than silver and gold. Well, as we think about that, Jesus said that if we don't understand the parable of the sower, then how would we understand any of the other parables? And I believe that he said this because truth and how we handle truth is of vital importance. What we're going to be learning in Ephesians is truth. What is presented is not Paul's opinions. It is not Pastor Lloyd-Jones' opinions. And it's certainly not going to be my opinion. But it is the truth given to us by revelation of God himself. It is the seed in this parable, the word that is presented. The question to ponder is, what happens to the seed that is sown? And that's the lesson of that parable. And this is important for us to see in our own lives, and it helps us to see what we often see in the lives of others and gives us the ability to either witness to them or minister to them. Pastor Lloyd-Jones understood this well. And it is interesting to see his perspective on the problems of the 1950s. I know that's ancient history for most of you, right? You know, there was a century before the 21st century. Remember that. Some people look back at that as the golden age. I don't think Pastor Lloyd-Jones did. And I think what he says there can really be seen as the seeds of many of our problems today. But here's what he wrote. He said, the Bible is God's book. It is a revelation of God. And our thinking must start with God. Much of the trouble in the church today, again, he's writing this in the 1950s, is due to the fact that we are so subjective, so interested in ourselves, so egocentric. That is the peculiar error of this present century. And we know it's carried over into the 21st century. Having forgotten God, and having become so interested in ourselves, we become miserable and wretched and spend our time in shallows and in miseries. The message of the Bible, from the beginning to the end, is designed to bring us back to God, to humble us before God, and to enable us to see our true relationship to him. That is the great theme of this epistle. It holds us face to face with God and what God is and what God has done. It emphasizes throughout the glory and the greatness of God. God the eternal one. God the everlasting. God over all and the indescribable glory of God. So, in explaining this central parable, Jesus plainly states that the sower sows the word. And again, the word is truth from God. And we know that God uses means to share this truth. God used the gospel writers, like Mark, to record this very parable so that we can study it. Many commentators and preachers have expounded on this truth, and many saints have shared the truth. And thus, the seed is sown and has been sown throughout history. But Jesus then tells us that there are four different places where those seeds fall. And we should think about this as a typical field. We live in an agricultural valley, so it's not foreign to us like it might be if I were preaching to a congregation in downtown New York City. I think we can all in our minds picture a field, one of the rice fields to the north or the wheat fields to the south. You know what they look like. They're, you know, not always square when they're rice fields, but they have boundaries, right? And you have the rich soil where the crops are going to grow. And then kind of on the edges, if you look, it's kind of weedy, You know, they just don't quite take care of the edge as much as they can the center. And then you get out a little bit and it's kind of rocky. And it's going up a little hill probably to a road, which is certainly hard panned, if not even asphalt. So that's the picture that Jesus has painted as he told the parable of the sower. And then he explains it so that we see the impact on our lives. And it will depend clearly on how we handle the truth, including this truth that we will hear from Ephesians. In verse 15, Jesus said, "And these are the ones by the wayside," or the road, "where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So as the sower is putting out the seed, some of it falls on the road and the birds come down, scoop it up, and it's gone. And Jesus said that's exactly what can happen in our lives with Satan taking away the word. It's a graphic picture of what the Bible calls a hardened heart. And this is certainly not how we want to approach God's word in our lives. And we pray that God would soften our hearts. And also, as we're witnessing to others, or as we raise our covenant children, we pray that he would turn stony hearts into hearts of flesh as his truth is shared. So next we come to two other places where the seed can fall that we see far too often in our modern world. And we need to guard against this in our own lives and, of course, the lives of our covenant children. You see, someone could be here and get pretty excited about what's being shared in these messages on Ephesians, but in the end, not benefit in any real way if they do not guard their own hearts. Because in verse 16, Jesus continues. He said, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble." You see, as we move through these first two chapters of Ephesians, we are going to learn that our salvation is all of God, given to us by grace through faith. And it's not even our faith any more than these seeds can prosper without good soil to draw upon. The seed will sprout, might even grow a little bit, but on a pile of rocks, it has no root, and it will soon die. You could try that experiment this spring with your children. Take a seed of corn and plant it in a little flower pot, and take another seed of corn and soak it and put it on the sidewalk. And the one on the sidewalk will sprout, but it won't go very far because it has no root. And, of course, the one in the pot will grow to be a great plant. You see, it's not our faith. It's the gift from God. If we want to grow and have roots, that's where it needs to be. And sadly, that is what happens if we make a profession of faith in our own strength and then encounter the trials and tribulations of the world. As we will learn in the final chapters of Ephesians, we need God's armor, including the Word of God, to survive. Next, we see those seeds that fall on some soil that's near the edge of the field. Now, these are the ones, says Jesus, sown among thorns, that are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Here, we have folks who can hear God's truth and all the good stuff that we'll learn over the coming weeks and months from the book of Ephesians. But they think that they can put it in right next to all the other things that they've learned on their own and from the world. We may think that we're putting God's truth first, But just as those weeds do in the field, the word will eventually be crowded out. And I think Mr. Tolkien gave us a pretty graphic picture of that in his character Gollum, when you think about what happened to him over time. And finally, we come to the field where we want to be. In verse 20, Jesus said, "But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. This is clearly where Paul wants us to take, where he wants to take us in this high and majestic epistle. And we will study it at length. And when we come to chapter 2, we'll see that the apostle writes these very familiar words. At verse 8, we read, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And Paul will go on to give us plenty of practical help in understanding what some of those good works are to be in our lives. But for this morning, I want us to ponder this parable. We cannot have a relationship with God, no less do any good works, if we reject the word, as the hard pan on the road did those seeds. Satan is always willing and able to take it away. And if you think that, I've thought about this, but I can put this stuff off until later, we should remember that sobering warning that we read again this month from Proverbs. Wisdom had called out, but then wisdom says in chapter 1, at verse 24, "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. The word was offered and it was a hardened heart. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm, and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then you will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel, and they despised my every rebuke." And whenever we run into someone with a hardened heart, we should realize it was a process. They weren't born that way, but they grew, as Pharaoh did, to harden their hearts more and more. Well, next, we'll be unable to do any of the good works that we were created in Christ Jesus to walk in if we run off doing our own thing. Those seeds on the rock sprouted, but they had no root. They weren't near the soil. And when troubles came, their own strength was not sufficient. We try to get this through to young people over and over. You know, they know everything by 18 and they're invincible. And yet, we know, those of us that are older, there's a lot more to life than being 18. But you see, the same is true, and this is perhaps where we have more problems in the church today, with those planted among the weeds and thorns. You cannot go about your worldly life Monday through Saturday and then come to church on Sunday, you know, because that's what Christians do. Yeah? You may hear many of the truths that are shared from this series on Ephesians, and you might even get excited about some of them. But in the end, Jesus says, the cares of this world will choke the word. That is why the Apostle Paul tells us in many places that the Old Testament saints are there as our examples. They can be examples of faith, but often they're given as examples of what we should avoid. So my hope and prayer is that we all will be that good soil where the seed, the word of truth, what Paul has shared here in Ephesians, can be planted and grow and produce a bountiful harvest. If you've not already read through this epistle, as I suggested, from beginning to end, just to get the overview, please try to do it in the next couple of weeks, keeping in mind this bit of wisdom from Pastor Lloyd-Jones. He says, we must not start with ourselves. What's Ephesians going to say to me? Kind of attitude. We must not start with ourselves and then ascend to God. We must start with the sovereignty of God, God over all, and then come down to ourselves. And then let us come together ready to learn these things that the Spirit would teach us so that we can walk in the good works that we were intended to not only walk in, but to enjoy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the letters that Paul was inspired to write and to pass down through the centuries, that we, here at Church of the King, might study them and learn, and that your Spirit might help us to richly grow. We thank you for all of this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said,
amen.
Let us rise and sing in response, Christ high ascended, now in glory seated.